Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word today. And Father, we pray right now for Pastor John as he opens the word and brings out treasure for us to sit and to gaze upon, as he brings out food to set before us. And Lord, we pray that we would feast at your table this morning, that you would anoint him, that you would bless this word. Lord, that you would use it for the upbuilding of your church here today. We give you thanks, we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about understanding God's will, and especially his purpose and his plan for our life. And I was thinking about Jesus and how faithful he was to do the will of his heavenly Father while he walked upon this earth, and I was thinking, what better example could we ever have than to follow Jesus, because he was such a wonderful leader and somebody who he lived and he died being obedient to the will of his Father. Remember, he said, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. And I only do what the Father tells me to do. His heart was perfectly in tune with his Father. I was thinking, just like guitar strings, when they're perfectly in tune, or piano strings, when they're perfectly in tune, they make a beautiful melody. And that's how it was with Jesus and his Father. It was something beautiful. Whereas when they're not in tune, when they're not flowing together, not vibrating in the same, it sounds like a mess. And it is. The attitude of Jesus was one of a perfect servant. Even though he had all this power and he had all the authority that he could have ever wanted or needed, and he could have used it for his own benefit. He could have used it for his own comfort, but he didn't do that. He chose instead to follow his Father's will and take on the attitude of a servant. In Philippians 2:5, we see exactly what kind of an attitude that we need to have as we learn to walk in, you know, God's plan and purpose for our life, with Jesus being our example. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And as we begin to discover and to walk in our calling, we need to recognize that every single one of us have been called to be a servant, just like Jesus was. We should have the same kind of attitude. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord with your heart, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul. The way we express our love to God is to serve him and to serve his people. We don't serve God because we have to. We don't do it because, at least we shouldn't be doing it, just because we have to, because we're under the thumb, we're under the rule of law. We've been called to serve God in a much more powerful way, in a more beautiful way, and that is to serve God in love and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Romans 7:6 explains that. It says, but now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we can serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code or the law. All the serving in the world that's done just to follow the rules and all the regulations is nothing more than works. It doesn't really bless God. It doesn't honor God. It's just works. Only when we are led by the Spirit of God do we really honor God and bless God, when we serve as we are led by the Spirit. When we are led by the Spirit, we act as Jesus would have acted. It's the same Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and now we are filled with the Spirit. just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's Matthew 20:28. He did not come to be served, but he came to serve. And now that's our call. Jesus didn't look at himself. He didn't look at his position. He didn't look at his power. He didn't look at his authority, his godhood, and demand to be served. He didn't come for that, it said. He could have, but he looked past himself. He looked past all the work that he had to do on this earth. He looked past the sorrow that he would feel. He looked past the suffering, past the cross. He even looked past his own death. And what he saw was us. He saw you, and he saw me. And he chose to serve us. Now he's calling us to follow his example and become servants too. Because it's only as we serve God that we will bring out those giftings and those things that God has put in us. Things that we maybe never even imagined that we have. And as God draws us to serve, as he brings us to that place of serving, he draws out those gifts so that we can provide for that need. It's only through serving that we will find our true self and be able to fulfill our calling and our purpose. So how do we go about serving? What way do we serve? 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Each one, it says. It doesn't say, well, those of you. It doesn't say, whichever one. It doesn't say, if you received. It doesn't say, some of you. It says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. We all have God-given abilities to serve. To serve up God's grace. To faithfully administer it in some capacity. Ephesians 2:10, one of my favorite scriptures, I've read this many times. It says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God made us. He created us to serve. And serving is the tool. Now, serving is the method that God has devised to pull those giftings out of us. He devised, you know, the giftings in us, and he put these works then out there. Works prepared in advance for us to do. And he's already prepared us to do that work. And maybe we're thinking like, I don't know how to do that. I can't do that. That's just not in me. And God says, oh yeah, it is. You follow my spirit and you serve that need, that person, and you watch and see what I will do through you. So God prepared the job, as I said. He prepared us. He created and prepared us. And now it's up to us. Now it's up to us to get moving and to serve in whatever way he has called us and use whatever gift he has given us in whatever form. To say that we have nothing to give, to say that we got nothing to serve with, nothing to give, that's an insult to God. In other words, when God didn't make something, he messed up. Oh, he messed up on him. Oh, he's got nothing to give. Well, that's a second. You know, you can sometimes buy seconds at the store. God doesn't make seconds. He doesn't make mistakes. Next it says, whatever gift he has received. God's given each one of us certain gifting, certain abilities, certain talents that we need to develop. We might have an inkling, or maybe we don't. Like I said, sometimes it just gradually starts to come out. Maybe somebody says, wow, I really see this gift in you. And you're thinking like, I don't see it. Maybe you feel sometime or other the Holy Spirit just nudges you a little bit to do something, but you're thinking, yeah, that's not me. I'm not like, well, if God's pushing you, if he's pulling you, if he's drawing you, nudging you, leading you to do something, there's a reason. He's trying to build you up into that person that he created you to be. And he's also given us spiritual giftings too, not just, you know, things in the natural and the physical realm. Sometimes it might be something, some type of one of the spiritual gifts that he puts inside of us, and we think, well, I'm not that spiritual. Well, sometimes we're not that spiritual because we haven't moved yet in the Spirit. And God wants to move us, and so we got to allow him to move. We got to allow the Holy Spirit to have the freedom to use us. Sometimes it's just a matter of saying, Lord, I don't know, but I feel like you want me to do this, and so I'll just go out and do it. I'll try. I may feel sort of dumb, but you know what? I'm going to trust in you that you'll somehow use it. And you will. When it's done out of obedience like that, there will be blessing one way or another. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will work something through us that we had no idea we could do, and the truth is we couldn't apart from him. We can't manufacture these things. It's the Holy Spirit who is the one who's giving us this power to be able to do this. Each one of us has great value as a servant in the kingdom of God. More than you would ever realize, you are precious to God. Anyone who has been fashioned by the hand of God, when God lovingly created you, you were made as a precious person of great worth to God. Have you ever heard of Antonio Stradivari? I'm sure some of you have. Many of you maybe has. He a Stradivarius instrument. That was his name, Antonio Stradivari, and he was one of the greatest creators, designers and creators. He was a luthier of stringed instruments, musical instruments, ever. And in fact, one of his violins sold just a few years back for $16 million. He probably made 20 bucks, you know, or something on it when he made it. $16 million. There's recently been one for sale over $40 million. Everybody says there's nothing like them. All these instruments are beautiful. They're exquisite. They're desirable just as we are to God. You are worth more, far more, than any of the most beautifully crafted instruments that have ever been made. Every one of those beautiful instruments, they play amazingly in the hands of a great talent, of the hands of a master. Just as we do when we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. We don't have any need to be jealous of anybody else's gifts. God made you for who you are. Just like those violins don't need to be jealous of one another. He also made cellos and harps and things like that. All the different string things. And could you imagine the cello being jealous of the violin? We're different. 1 Peter 4:10 also tells us that we are to be faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Imagine if you were one of those famous violins, or you had one of those famous violins, and you took it out to play it, and no sound came out. That would be awful. It wouldn't play a note. You'd feel like you were robbed, and truth is that violin wouldn't be worth much of anything then. if it didn't play like it was supposed to. And God is looking for faithful servants like us to be able to respond to His using us. When God's grace is being poured out, it's you He wants to use. We need to look at it as, it's me. It's not the next guy. It's not her. If we sense something, that God wants to do something, we can't start looking, oh, maybe it's them. Oh, it's probably them. And that's what we do, because we get scared. We feel inferior. We feel like, you know, I don't, oh, they're good at this. They should, no. If you feel God nudging, He's calling you. When we play that violin, the violin doesn't think, oh, that sound should come out of that cello over there. It's a bigger instrument. No, the violin starts to play. Everything that we have freely received from Him, He wants us to freely give. Every servant needs to be a giver, just like Jesus was. We need to give voluntarily. God loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't want us to serve with a sour look on our face. He doesn't want us to serve begrudgingly and grumbling all the way. I remember one time, way back when I was younger specifically, I was thinking about this last night. One time I had offered to do some work with a friend that was going to be a considerable job. And I says, yeah, whenever you want to do that, just let me know. You know, we do that kind of thing a lot. And then one day he called me up and he wanted to do it. And I thought, oh my gosh, I don't have the time for this now. I wasn't really ready now. I wasn't expecting it. But you know what? I thought, okay, I gave him my word, and he needs me now, so I'll go. And, you know, on the inside, I was happy. I mean, excuse me, on the outside, I was looking happy to be there. But inside, I was thinking, man, I got this to do. I got that to do. And I found myself complaining, and I realized what I was doing. Even though I never spoke it out, I got sort of mad at myself and for having an attitude, even though it was only inside. And I said, you know what? I'm going to forget about all that stuff, and I'm just going to get into it. I'm going to get into this time. And you know what? I had a great time. I was blessed. He was blessed. Everything went great. You ever do that? Like, say you're watching the kids, and you're thinking, oh, I got to do this, and I got to do that. And then, you know, you just say, you know what? I'm just going to play with these guys. I'm going to have fun with them. I'm going to get right down there at their level and begin to just really, and all of a sudden, you have a great time. We can do that in whatever we're doing. We can be grumbling and complaining, or we can just jump into it. Just jump right into it and go for it. A servant also needs to be a spontaneous giver. You never know when the need will arise, when somebody might need your help. You know, we can't always schedule crises or disasters or needs in our planner. It just doesn't work out. Luke says in 12:35, 38 through 38, be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. Be ready. God's saying, be ready. In season and out of season. It's all throughout the Word. God wants us to make the most of every opportunity. Another characteristic of a good servant is someone who gives of himself sacrificially. True servanthood, true serving is going to cost us. It's going to cost us something, whether it's time or money or energy or canceled plans or something. And then there's the story of the poor widow. Luke 21:2, Jesus saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, or they helped when they had all the time in the world, basically. But she gave out of her poverty and put in all she had to live on. Jesus commended that woman because she gave sacrificially. She served sacrificially. How many times have we helped someone when we didn't have the time or we didn't have the resources, and we went ahead and we did it anyway and found out wow, this was really a blessing. You know, when we serve somebody, we don't just bless them. We get blessed. We get blessed, just like when God says, when you give, as you give, it shall be given back to you, pressed down and running over. Obviously, there's times when we won't be able to serve. I mean, sure, there's going to be times when you just can't. You're doing something and you can't get out of it. And but that's when you need to be led by the Holy Spirit, knowing, you know, what you're supposed to be doing. A true servant oftentimes will give anonymously. Nobody even knows what they did, and we don't need to care about that. It doesn't matter if somebody knows if we're doing what God has called us to do, what we know we should be doing, what's the right thing to do. And because we're not doing it to be recognized, we're doing it to please God, doing it as unto the Lord. There's a scripture that says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. And the very next verse then says, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. And finally, a giving servant is someone who gives of themselves personally. God doesn't want us to just throw money at a person or a project or some type of need and then walk away. He wants us to get involved. How? I'm not sure, depending on whatever our ability is, whatever that need is. But we need to give our time and our talents and sometimes our hands and feet and our heart. Maybe prayer. Definitely prayer. But whatever we can do, whatever is the right thing to do. Jesus said that when we fed that person, when we fed someone, when we clothed someone, when we visited someone, when we served someone, we were doing it to Him. Served Him. We honored Him. Whenever we serve someone in love and in obedience to God, we are blessing God. There's no way about it. We are honoring and serving and blessing God. There's a scripture that I wanted to read, and it shows how God has had a plan to help us to even become better servants. And it even shows some of the benefits. It's in Ephesians. It says 4:11. It's in Ephesians 4:11. It says, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Why? Why did He do that? Well, it tells us right there, to prepare God's people for, guess what? Works or acts of service. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So serving is how the body is built up. That's what it tells us there. Serving helps us to come together in the unity of our faith. Serving is how we grow together. It's how we grow together in not only in to grow together just on a surface level, but grow together in the knowledge of God. Serving is how we become mature, it says. We've got to step out of our little selfish ways and grow up to serve others. Serving is how the fullness of Christ grows in us. This is how we become like Jesus. We're supposed to be growing, becoming more and more like Christ, day by day by day. And the way we do that is to take on that same attitude as Jesus did and become a servant. So I wanted to talk about one more little story before I close. And look at something that Jesus did to teach us how important this idea of serving is. And it happened, you know, when Jesus was getting, his time on earth was pretty much done. It was coming to a close, and He knew He was going to be leaving very soon. His job was almost finished, And he was going to be once again back with his Father in his restored body in heaven, seated at the right hand in his glorified, resurrected body. And he could have easily just left. He could have even gotten an attitude, been filled with pride and said, "Hey, man, I'm gonna be out of here pretty soon, man. I'm going to have it made." Or he could have just sort of slid off and never told anybody. But that wasn't Jesus. It wasn't the way he was. Instead of drawing away from his disciples, the ones he had been living, eating, working with over the last 3 years, instead of drawing away from them, he actually, our servant king, Jesus, drew even closer. A wonderful example of God's amazing love. That God will always wants to draw closer to us. Jesus loved these men. He spent 3 years of his life with them, day in and day out. And now, all those intimate relationships that he had developed over this time, he knew them very well. They knew him. It was going to be done. And once it was going to be done just like that. I remember when Carol and I, we lived in Boston for 3 years, and we were very involved in a church there. And we got to know quite a few people really well. And when we left, it tore our hearts out. I cried. I thought about it. I still think of those people. Some of them I've actually maintained relationships with, and this was back in the 70s, 1977 through 1980. The next day, Jesus was going to be gone. The shepherd would be killed, and the sheep, he knew they were going to be overwhelmed. Jesus knew all the stuff that they were going to go through. The hard future that awaited them, the struggles, the suffering, the deaths that they would that awaited them. He knew it all. It was tough because he really loved them. God really loves us. And so on that last day, he wanted to leave them with a lesson. Something that would be an example that they would remember for the rest of their life, all the days of their life. And he tells us in the Word in the book of John, chapter 13, starting at verse 1. It says, "It was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist." After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later, no," Peter said, "you'll never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you," or my own verse here, "unless I serve you and you serve others, you will have no part of me." "Then, Lord," Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And then down to verse 12 it says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your teacher, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Imagine these guys. Being there with Jesus. Going through that time. And then in the years to come, think about every time, you know, in those days when you went into a home and you'd been out on a dusty road, the house servant would come and give you a basin of water and wash your feet. You think they thought about Jesus? That every time that happened, probably every time they took a bath or washed their own feet, they thought again about Jesus. Their last night, they would think about that. Their last night with Jesus, the one that they loved. When their precious Jesus had washed their feet and looked up into their faces with the love that penetrated into the depth of their souls. What an example. He showed them that they had to serve. He taught them by example. And he said, if you couldn't serve one another, then you couldn't have part of one another's lives, and in reality, you couldn't even have a part of my life. Jesus was a great example, the greatest example of a servant king, a servant leader. And this is what he's calling all of us to be now, servants. This is how we will walk in God's plan and in His will for our life. We can't do it apart from being a servant. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. That is true Christianity. Our calling, learning to give ourselves in service to God, to do everything as unto the Lord, to love the Lord our God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor and serve our neighbor as ourselves. This is what will allow our Father to be able to say to us on the day when we enter heaven, well done. Good and faithful servant. That's what he's looking for. Faithful servants. So we have to humble ourselves, just as it said that Jesus did. If I could have the prayer team come forward. We have to get past ourselves. Get past our importance. Was there anyone ever more important than Jesus? And yet, he served. Said he came not to be served, but to serve. And now he's asking us to follow his example. Become servants. To serve one another and to serve him. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God, that you came here to serve us. We thank you that you're such an amazing God with a love that is just unfathomable. A love so overwhelming that you would literally die. Allow yourself to be crucified, to serve us, to bring salvation, to bring forgiveness to us. Lord, we want to honor you by becoming the servants that you've called us to be, so that we can honor you and walk in our purpose. Become the person that you created us to be. Walk in the plan that you have for us. Run the course that you've designed for us. Lord, I know we can't do it unless we're servants. Lord, I pray that you would give us all that insight into how important serving truly is. Lord, I pray your blessing upon this body of believers right here, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you for all things. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.